Well, I hope that you've come and expecting the Lord to do something in your heart. He's already done something in our hearts for the singing and choir. Thank you. I was noticing Daniel was up here singing and it all sounded so good. And then the choir left me. So you understand when you stand up here, you got the choir singing at the back of you, you got the congregation singing in front of you, it just sounds good. And then it sounds like the speakers went off, the choir all went down. But they joined out there. But thank you so much, choir, for blessing us. Thank you, Peyton. Thank you, all the ones that played the instruments. What a joy to just get to come together and worship. And we truly do that. We look to the one. We worship Christ, and we worship the one that redeemed us, and we're thankful for just the opportunity to be here. I want to preach for a little while in a passage of Scripture that is sums so many things up about how we're supposed to live, almost like when somebody tells a big, long story, and at the end of it, they say, it's as simple as that, and they just put it all together, or they say, it's just that simple. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does when there's somebody that comes and asks him something that he wants to know the answer of, but there's some trickery involved. So I want you to look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 22. And I'd like to preach from there. As you find your place in Matthew chapter 22, we'll look at verse number 34. But as you find your place in Matthew chapter 22, I did hear this story about these brothers. One had moved out. The other one still lived at home with his mom. But the one that moved out had a cat. And so this one that had a cat was going to take a trip somewhere. He's going to be gone for a week or so, something like that. And so he'd ask his brother that still lived at home with his mom to watch his cat for him. And so he did all that. He was on his trip, and he called back the first day, and he said, well, how's Aloysius? That was his cat's name. How's Aloysius? And his brother that was there watching said, she's dead. And the brother was so distraught, he loved the cat. He said, oh my goodness, what do you mean? What do you mean she's dead? Well, she is. That's what happened. He said, well, oh, that's terrible. He says, well, even more terrible that you didn't let me down gently. What do you mean let you down gently? He said, you could have just said when I was called the first time, how's Aloysius? You should have said, well, she snuck out the window out onto the roof there and I can't get her in. She's stuck on the roof. And then I'd have, well, wasn't worried, but it would, at least she'd have been okay. And then when I called back the next day, you could have said, well, I said, well, how is she? She said, well, she's not good. She's didn't ever come in, and then she's hanging off the gutter there, and so she's just in bad shape. And then I said, well, I'll pray for her. And then on the next day when I called back, I said, well, how's Aloysius? Well, she fell. She's at the vet. She's looking bad. And just got to keep the faith. And then the next day, you could have, when I called, you could have said, well, worst came to worst, she passed, she expired. And he said, that's the way you could have done it and let me down very, very easy and gently. I said, well, sorry, she's dead. And then, so he said, well, before I get off here, how's mom? Well, she's stuck on the roof right now. So, it's all in how you present the facts, I guess. So, well, now getting back to the Bible, Matthew chapter 22. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. A speaker was at an event one time and he said, if you forget everything else I say after this about hour and a half presentation, if you forget everything else I've said, remember this one statement. And the one guy in the back's like, phew, I could have saved myself the last hour and a half, just came in for this last 2 minutes and I'd have got the gist of his message. Like a pastor that was preaching one time, and he was on a Monday, and he was going to be there on a Monday and a Tuesday, and he told everybody, try to be funny on Monday. He said, well, I'm glad you're here tonight. If you could only choose one night, I wish you would come back tomorrow night. And he said, if you could only choose one, I'd rather hear Tuesday night's message instead of Monday night's message. Some guy stood up in the back and started walking through the door. He said, hey, where are you going? He said, I'll see you tomorrow. So it's almost like, well, there's something that sums it all up. If you're only going to get one dose of it, get that dose of it. And it's as if that's what I think of when this lawyer who's tempting or trying to test Jesus, when he brings it to him and Jesus doesn't give the answer that that lawyer wants. Instead, he sums it all up and brings it to a neat little package. You see, the Pharisees were always trying to trip up Jesus. You know, they did that about money, they did that about divorce and remarriage, and they did it about different things. They would always try to give him one of those gotcha questions so that he would fall in a trap. And so this lawyer is doing that. He's expecting Christ, I believe, as you read it, expecting Christ to come back with one command. There's one thing that the Pharisees were known for. Not only were they those that would try to have that gotcha moment with Christ and try to trip him up, but they also were very well known for justifying themselves. Oh, we don't do those things like those people. We don't do this, and we don't engage in those kind of behaviors. They were very big on making themselves look like they towed the line, so to speak. So I believe that when they asked Jesus this, he was hoping that Jesus would say, well, don't commit adultery, or don't kill, or don't do this, or just give one statement. He said, well, that's the best one. I have checked off that box. I'm good to go. I believe that's what he was wanting to say. But he didn't fall into that trap. Instead, he gives this couple of verse command here of what they're supposed to do. And I want to get some lessons from this passage right from the text. If you'll stick with me, and we'll look into it. And I trust the Lord will get in all that we have today. Father, again, be with us now. Help us learn from this passage how you want us to behave in our lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, in verse number 35, you see the test of the world. Now, you can always count on the world to be the world, meaning the unsaved world, the one that doesn't know your God, the one that doesn't claim Jesus Christ as who he is. You can count on the world, and we see the test of the world here. He comes to Jesus, and he says this one question that he wanted to ask, tempting him. And we understand that this group of Pharisees had seen how he had made had put away with the Sadducees and their trickery. And then the Pharisees are the same, and this lawyer from that group says, hey, I want to test and trip you up. You understand there'll always be a segment of society that wants to get in. Since they don't like what you or I stand for, they're going to try to get in and trip you up, meaning they're going to try to shoot some holes in your philosophy or in your mindset. Now, one person could say, because of that, well, I just won't let anybody know who I am. Well, that's one tactic, but not a very good one. Instead, you ought to prepare yourself and get ready. I was thinking about this as we see the test of the world, because the Bible says in John 16, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Don't come this week, and when somebody doesn't appreciate your message, doesn't appreciate your Savior, doesn't appreciate the church or the faith that you have sometime this year, this week, this whoever, whenever I should say, when they come at you with that, don't be shocked. Jesus says, in the world, you'll have tribulation. There'll be people that don't like what you stand for. So I would suggest not that you pull back and say, I'm not going to speak of his name anymore. That's what Jeremiah tried to do. But instead, when trials come, I believe you ought to put a couple things into practice. Number one, you ought to have some apologetics. You say, Pastor, what are we apologizing for? Well, not necessarily apologizing, but apologetics is just that you're able to give an answer. So much so that 1 Peter chapter 3 says this, be ready always to give an answer of the hope that's within you. So when somebody criticizes your faith, when somebody criticizes you for standing for something, you ought to have an answer to give back to say, well, this is what happened in my life. Not only do you have that apologetics that's needed, meaning that you're able to give an answer if you're in school and you know that you're the minority, maybe there's nobody else in your little group that's a churchgoer, or certainly not vocal about their faith, you've got two choices. Do I stand up for Jesus Christ and take the potential hit of being singled out, or do I blend into it? Well, the Lord says in his word, we're always supposed to stand out and stand up for him. And so I believe you ought to have that ready to be apologetics. Not only do you have that, but you also have the power available. You have discernment that's there. In James chapter 1 says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You say, Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to stand up against somebody that doesn't agree with me or doesn't like what I say. Again, the Bible says you can ask. Ask, it shall be given unto you. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But I do know this, that the third one underneath this little point is where we all ought to be living, because the Bible says in Jude verse 23 that we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, you don't have to be like somebody that's coming to mind right now. You don't have to be contentious while you do that. You don't have to be ugly and vindictive and hateful. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't be. but you should stand and contend for the faith. Well, if you're going to contend for something, you have to know it pretty well to be able to verbalize what you're contending for. So I'm telling you, giving you those tools to say that the world will always be testing, tempting, or trying us. In Murfreesboro, where we lived for so many years, there's the Bill Rice Ranch. The Bill Rice Ranch has been started years and years ago by a guy named Bill Rice. And he was an evangelist as well as starting a camp. They've had thousands and thousands of kids that have come through for teen weeks and junior weeks and deaf weeks. Well, Bill Rice was out at a meeting and he was preaching this particular meeting and he needed some stuff at the little convenience store. And so he found himself at the counter ready to pay for whatever he was getting. And the person behind the counter was trying to interest him in a lewd magazine, some inappropriate stuff that they had in the back for gentlemen's magazine, which is not much gentle about it, but some magazines that were inappropriate. He says, could I interest you in and name? He said, oh, no, thank you. I'm good. And he then went on to tell him why he was there. He said, oh, you sure you don't want some of these? And he was in a different town. Nobody would have known him. It wouldn't be like now where social media, somebody might catch you doing something and post it all over. He said, oh, no, I don't care for any of that. As he turned, he got his stuff, and he paid for it and got his stuff, and he turned to walk. Before he reached for the door of that little convenience store, the person who had tried to sell him the inappropriate magazine said, well, have a good evening, Brother Rice. So whether that person was just testing or whether Satan was using that person, that's up to your decision. I don't know. But I can tell you this, that we can count on always being tested or tried or tempted by the wicked one. You think that there's no price to be paid for you to say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ? In many ways, that's inviting some difficulties because the world oftentimes hates the God that you and I love. But I'm seeing the test of the world in verse number 35. But I see this when he gives that test in the world and that lawyer says, tell me the greatest commandment. Jesus doesn't give him that one thing that says, okay, do this and you're good. Instead, I want you to look at the totality of the command in verse number 37. He gives that test, but then Jesus turns the tables on him and he gives this total command. He gives an answer that encompasses one's whole life. As I already mentioned, the Pharisees were very good at justifying themselves. Oh, we do that. We're not as the publican over there that does that. We don't do those kind of things, and they always wanted to seem superior than others. And you know that hasn't changed much. There's people in our world right now that are religious, but then they just use that level they are, position they are in life, to look down their nose at everybody else. And so we see that those Pharisees were doing that. They wanted Christ to give one command so they could brag about, but Jesus just blew them away. Well, we've just come through Valentine's Day, and it looks like most of you men survived. You at least got the entry-level gift, and you survived anyways. And so I think about Valentine's Day, and I think about the love holiday, you know, hubba hubba, there he is, or there she is, or whatever. Like this one lady, she said that my husband, he's got the furniture disease. And somebody said, what do you mean? She says, oh, yeah, he used to have this big old chest, but now it's all dropped into his drawers. It's just in the middle of him now. The incredible hunk became an incredible chunk. I tell you, he used to be something, but he's not anymore. One fellow said, you know, I married for better or for worse. I just didn't know it was going to be so lopsided after I got into it. And I did hear this one last one just, well, maybe not the last one, but another one. This lady was getting married, and her mom says, well, she said, I guess you're marrying him for his brains. The wife-to-be said, I'm marrying for his brains. And her mom said, well, it is the little things in life that count. So I guess that's all right. And this, the last one, this fellow said, he said, man, my wife, she's historical. And his buddy said, don't you mean hysterical? He said, no, I mean historical. He said, we got in a fight, and every time we get in a fight, she gets very historical. She reaches way back and brings every mistake I've made in our history of our marriage, so she gets very historical. Well, I said all that to get you in the mood for Valentine's Day, which has already passed, so you've got almost a year to get ready for it next year, men. But when a fiancé wants to come to his wife or wife-to-be, his sweetheart, he says, if he wants to say that I really, really, really love you, I love you with all my heart. And that's the way we convey that depth of that love that I have. And Jesus told this lawyer that was trying to trick him up, if you want to do the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. We ought to wake up every day like you would if you were that little guy that was getting married to his fiance. I love you with all my heart. You ought to wake up and say, Lord, I love you with all my heart. You understand if we love the Lord with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, we wouldn't have to have all these other little sermons and rules and regulations and things that maybe you keep up for yourself. Well, I'll never do that, and I'll always do this, and I'll always do that. Boy, if we just woke up every morning, Lord, I love you with all of my heart, then that would keep us in the vein of serving the Lord like we ought to do. I see these things, and as you are in that romance mood, I love you with my heart. May we as Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, truly say, Lord, I love you with my heart. And then his commands that are found in the scripture, they won't seem grievous. The commands that are given in the scriptures about how we love and forgive and be kind and be gracious and all these, those won't seem grievous. They'll just seem like, well, that's the least I can do for the Lord that I love with all of my heart. Well, I see the totality of that, but then I want you to also look at verse number 39, because that morphs into or just segues right into the treatment of all the people. Because he says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. At first you say, well, that only tells us about how we're supposed to treat others, but it's understood that you're going to take care of you. There's probably not been anybody in this room that you've ever missed a meal that you didn't want to, either for a spiritual reason to fast and pray, for a weight loss reason, or for some surgery or something else come up. So there's a reason why we don't go around hungry very often, because we take care of us. And if you have some other need, you typically take care of those things as well. If you're cold, you cover up. If you need to go somewhere, you go. And so it's understood that you take care of you. And so what Jesus says to this guy, and the second, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In Luke chapter 6, the Bible said, and as you would that men should do to you, do ye also unto them. The golden rule. Our Christian life is pretty simple. Love God and show him to other people that we're around. A friend of mine pastors a church up around D.C., and their slogan is that for their church, love God, love others. Because if you love God with all your heart, then that's going to take care of so many of the other things about what we do and don't do and what we wouldn't do and what we'll always do. And then if you love him, then that's going to push you right in that position where you love others and you show them Jesus Christ. You say, well, who's my neighbor? That's what the Bible says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, we understand, remember from the story of the Good Samaritan, it tells who our neighbor is. It's the people you like, it's the people you don't like, it's the people you know, it's the people you don't know, it's the people you wish you didn't know, it's the people that you wish you could know, it's all of them. Went to the hospital the other day and I was visiting somebody and they were asleep, and so I was going to write them a note, but I didn't have a pen. I had a shirt and tie on, but no suit coat, so I didn't have a pen. And so I asked somebody, I went to the little station there, the little office, and I said, would you have a pen that I could use, and paper? I needed both. And I could see from where I was standing, and so could they see from where they were standing. There was a pen and a little pen holder and some paper there, and the one said, I don't have any. I said, I'm sure you're working this position. You probably have about as good eyesight as I do. I'm thinking this. I didn't say that. I'm thinking this. And, you know, I'm kind of like eyeing it over there. And so I don't have any. I said, okay. Well, do you know? She said, well, you'd have to go to clerical. Well, I don't know where clerical is. I don't even know if they have a clerical department. I can imagine myself walking all over the hospital. Where's the clerical department? And I'm getting this. I'd already announced who I was. I'm the pastor trying to talk to this person. They're not there, they're there, but they're asleep. I've already announced I've got a shirt and tie on. I've already told them who I am and all these other things. I'm a pastor. I'm on the Lord's business. I'm the Buffalo Ridge guy, all those things. Well, I'm getting, you know how your anger kind of comes up. So, lady, I see a pen right there, and you know you're right there. And my anger is coming up. I'm wishing I could unannounce who I am, and I'm wishing I could take my tie off, and I'm wishing they didn't know I was from the church because I want to tell her what I really think. And just let her have it and remind her how short of a reach it would be to get to that pen that she could reach and give me and write it, because I am on the Lord's business and I'm important, right? And I'm all these things. Wow. Thankfully, there was another co-worker of hers. She said, I'll get you something. And then she did, and it saved my ministry and saved me from getting mad, I guess, or too mad. But who didn't give me my pen? My neighbor. You say, I understand that we're supposed to be good to everybody, but what about the people that hate us? Well, they live around us. Actually, this whole world God created, so our neighbor doesn't leave where our street signs quit and goes into the next subdivision. That means that the people that I like and the people that I don't like and the people that I wish I didn't know and the ones that I wish I did know, I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. So really, when you boil it down, it does get pretty simple. You see, we're supposed to be displaying the fruit of the Spirit. You don't come up with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness. You don't come up with that. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit produces, and you display it, but it's His work. And so it's not you that's coming up with it. It's Him. And so I'm supposed to be a displayer of the fruit of the Spirit, and that love is supposed to come out. I'm supposed to have joy and peace, but that love, the Bible says in verse 39, I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. So when somebody stands and they have got a one-hour lecture and they come to the end of it and they say, well, if you don't remember anything else I've said, remember this. And they're going to give you the gist of that whole series or that whole sermon or lecture. What's the idea I get when we come to this? And Jesus says, when the lawyer is trying to trip him up. It's almost as if Jesus says it's as simple as this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And then past that, love your neighbor as yourself. So much so is that true that it goes on in verse number 40 and says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, what does that mean? The law would have been the first few books of the Old Testament, and the prophets, of course, the prophetical part of it. And so basically what the Lord is saying, on these two commandments is hanging all the Bible. And so if you're going to claim to be a Bible believer, I'm going to claim to be a Bible preacher. We're going to be a Bible toter, a Bible liver, that I'm supposed to be one that loves the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind. Do you know that all of us have varied interests? Some of you like gardening, some of you like construction, some of you like remodeling, some of you like vehicles, some of you like all these different things. But I know one thing about whatever you like. In your spare time, and when nothing really is going on that's needful for you to be concentrating, you'll find yourself either reading magazines or blogs or something, how to get better or how to do it different or how to get engaged with, or maybe you're saying, oh, I want to find something new, and you start being interested in this. I've got a family member of mine that he's always into something, and then it just seems like the next time I talk to him, he's always into something, but he's all in whatever he's in on. Well, if you've got your hobbies, you've got your things that you love to do, you're going to find yourself revisiting those again and again. What's the time to get those things pruned? What's the time to get that seed in the ground? What's the time to do this? When should I put that? How can I? You're going to be investigating again and again. Well, let's apply that logic to the Lord our God. If I love Him with all of my heart, then I should find myself on a regular basis seeing, what could I do to please Him more? What could I do to serve Him better? What could I do to be a better representative for Him? What could I do to be a better spokesman for His work and His word? It's as simple as that. Let's sum it all up, he says. These two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. They were wanting to get one specific thing. And I find myself around people a lot, and I find that I myself plus other people, they really would like to have a checklist. If we had a checklist of five things to do to be a good Christian, we would be happy. But you know, our nature would take over. What we would do is, then we'd take that checklist. Okay, I got that one. I've got that one, that one, that one, and I got to get the one more to make the fifth. Don't we all kind of want to do that? But you see how all-encompassing Christ was when He was talking to this person? He wasn't going to give him the satisfaction, because typically the Pharisees, when they would say, oh yeah, I've done that, they did it in the outward way, but they usually never did it in the inward way anyway. So even when they did check the box, that was from a from a physical standpoint that they outwardly did that, but their heart was far from what the command was. So Jesus didn't play into their game. And he says, you ought to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And I guess I would ask every Christian in the room today, would you say that you're striving to do that? I want to love the Lord my God with all my heart. This isn't just a Sunday thing that we come on together and get all gussied up and come in. Even come back on a Sunday night or a revival meeting. Wow, I'm in. I came to the Tuesday night revival. I'm really something. That's not what Jesus gives. He goes much, much deeper than that. Love the Lord your God. Are you striving to love Him with all your heart, or could your love go deeper? Could it be more encompassing? Are there parts that it could be permeating even more? And then the second is like unto it. So since you love Him, then it segues right into this is how you're going to treat those other people, not for your sake, but for His sake. Because remember, His desire is to reach everybody and to have everybody turn and worship Him. And so I'm supposed to be loving Him and now loving people that don't always love Him, so one day they will love Him and receive Him as their Savior. How simple it is to say, sometimes hard to do. But my friend, I give you that command that the Lord gives us all, that to you and my, that we shall love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I thank you for this simple command that's not always simple to live out, but certainly simple to articulate. And I pray that you would do a soul-searching work in every person that's listening today. And Lord, I pray that you would help us all walk out of this room or get up from our television and say, I want to love Him with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. My friend, please, would you allow the Lord to just do that deep work in you? And let's not leave this time, but what we make a holy vow to Him. Lord, that's how I want to love you. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Brother Daniel's down here in front of the pulpit. Would love to take a Bible and help you through any spiritual issue that you're battling with, wrestling with. Specifically, if you're not sure that you're saved, you say, I don't know if I can love the Lord my God with all my heart. I want to, I don't know if I know Him in that way. Well, would you come and let him or somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved? Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come present yourself for that. The Lord's been dealing with you. Maybe you need to be baptized. You need to come present yourself for that. We'll do it in a service real soon. Or maybe there's just some other spiritual need that you just want to come and pray about. Then the altar is open for you. As they continue to play on through, are you loving the Lord your God with all your heart? I hope that we wouldn't just be playing the part as an actor would be in his role or her role. But I want to be one of those heartfelt Christians. As real as that fiancé little boy says to his sweet little girl, I love you with all my heart. I want to say it and mean it to Jesus. I love you with all my heart. Oh, friend, we ought to go out of this room being God lovers, Jesus lovers, not just saved and we know Him, yes, but one that we say, I'm just enthralled, I'm in love, I love Him with all of my heart, my soul, and my mind. As they just finish up and you're praying, just word that to the Lord. Lord, I love you. this way. Well, a real joy to be in church this morning, and thank you so much for all of that. I wanted to remind you there'll be some young people out, or tell you that there'll be some young people, Daniel's reminding me, there'll be some young people out in the lobby, and they've got some flyers here because this week on Tuesday, February 27th from 5 to 8 at the West Market Street Chick-fil-A, then there is a fundraiser event. I forget the amount, but a certain amount of the sales that they make, if you mention Buffalo Ridge, will go to the trip to England. So this is good. I think I can justify, and I think I can go eat a lot of food. I'm doing it for the Lord. But between 5 and 8 at the Market Street Chick-fil-A, just mention Buffalo Ridge. When you go up there, I think there'll be some folks there that will remind us of that. But just mention Buffalo Ridge. It gets tallied on there. A percentage of that goes to the teen trip to England. They're going over to see the work there with Brother Levi Mullins, and it's going to be a wonderful time. So those will be out there. And if you are down the way, you can stop by. We appreciate that. Others of you might not make it there, but maybe God puts on your heart to help the teenagers. They're still raising funds. Kyle's working with some different ideas to try maybe have some different fundraisers between now and when they leave, but maybe you're not going to get involved with those, but you'd like to designate something for the teen ministry, just for the teen missions trip, then God, I believe, would be pleased with that, and the young people have a wonderful, wonderful time. So I just wanted to tell you about that. Brother Paul Pritchard, would you mind to come and dismiss us? I want Brother Paul to be up here. He's leaving the area, but just to get over toward Middle Tennessee around Nashville, just better situation for his family and Miss Sharon's health, and with some family there to help and assist with that. So I want to get him up here as many times as I can because he's a great, great blessing. If you haven't got to know him since you've been here, I want you to do that. He won't be a stranger. He'll be back over again and again, but just won't be here in the area. So I'm certainly I love him and appreciate all that he does for us and for the Lord. And I'm going to ask him to dismiss us in prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we do love you today. Thank you for the grace of God today, Lord. We thank you for the goodness of God, and Lord, we thank you for the message this morning, how that it continues to speak to our hearts, Father, and help us, I pray, to love you, Lord, with all of our hearts and soul and mind. Help us, Lord Jesus, to love others as well and treat them the way that you'd have us to do. Lord, we love you. Pray for this service. We pray, God, that your will would be done with every family that's here today, special needs that may be on people's hearts today. We pray for those needs to be met according to your will. We ask thee now to bless and help us as we are dismissed in your name. Give us a wonderful day, Lord, with you, and bless this church. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.